Welcome, everyone, to the Drunken Peasants pre-show here on all your favorite audio podcast platforms. We're about to do episode 1275. And tonight's episode features some of the content Mama JF made back in the day when she had a channel of her own, which no longer exists, but some of the content's been re-uploaded.
Ooh.
It's very interesting. Because she goes back in time and kind of goes to like her early adulthood and describes some experiences she had, some of the men she dated, and things she's done. It's pretty interesting. Maybe it'll give us some insight as to whether or not Mama JF can survive the Canadian wilderness in late November.
If she's even there. She might have got an airplane out of Canada and she could be in Morocco.
She might be in Gaza. That one time she hacked Jeff's Skype call, she was in Gaza.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she was in Gaza. But she also said she was dead and that JF killed her. But she's in Gaza.
That could both be true.
Yeah.
I think.
She was brought back to life by hummus.
Yum, delicious. Do you like a lot of garlic in your hummus?
Of course. She also said paragliding is dangerous. She was trying to learn to paraglide. But, it's kind of dangerous. She fell, but she survived. She's resilient.
Holy shit. She does a lot.
Yeah. She's a jack of all trades.
She's lived a lot of lives and died one, I guess. From what you said on Jeff's Skype call.
Yeah. I think her nickname is Big Cat Mama JF, actually.
Oh, that reminds me of our friend Scott Henson.
No, I think he stole it from Mama JF. That's fine. Usually Canadians steal from the superior French Canadians. It's normal. They do that a lot over there.
What do they take?
Poutine, for one thing. Their national dish came from Quebec. So
poutine is the national dish?
I would say so, yes.
Huh.
It's like it's everywhere and it's on the menu in most restaurants that aren't like Asian, like ethnic style restaurants. It's bar food, it's everything. It's probably the most commonly found dish. I wonder where Caesar started. I don't know the origin of the Caesar.
A Caesar salad?
No, the drink. It's like a Bloody Mary, but it has Clamato in it.
Yuck.
I used to not like Bloody Marys at all either, but I actually tried a Caesar and it was fine. And then the last time Scott and Drew were in town, we went to this breakfast place in Columbia City and they had a Caesar on the menu, so I had it.
I think I had a michelada made with Clamato once, but I don't know if that's true. I just think I did.
Looks like the Caesar was created in Calgary, Alberta in 1969 by a man named Walter Chell, a food and beverage worker. So
Walter Chell?
That's what it says.
Huh. Yeah. I wonder if he had anything to do with the michelada.
I doubt it.
It's got Chell in the name.
Yeah. His last name is... I would think Michelada has some sort of Spanish origin.
You would think, yeah. Unless like there was a girl named Michelle and this Chell guy. And they had like a lemonada. And they were like a Michelada.
I think you're stretching pretty far on this. Now, Michelle is normally a man's name. Outside of North America, it's Michael.
Michel Gondry is a director.
Yeah.
He's famous for the Spotless Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. That's the one.
At first, I thought you were saying Turtle.
Turtle. He's famous for Turtles.
Turtle Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yes, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah, I saw that once way back when it came out. It was all right. It's like one of the less silly Jim Carrey movies. of its time.
Quite a few less silly Jim Carrey movies
that came out before or after that.
I think that was in the middle of his serious cycle. With Kate Winslet.
Yeah, Kate Winslet.
Who is one of the greatest actresses of our generation, possibly all time. Have you ever had horny goat weed?
I don't know what that is.
I think it's a supplement. People will take it. It's a... they come in capsules.
Why are you asking me about this?
Well, we weren't talking, so I was bringing up a conversation point, seeing if you'd ever... tried horny goat weed.
So why...
there was dead air.
But why that, to fill the dead air?
Well, for one... it's an interesting name, correct? Horny goat weed.
Maybe if you're like in the fourth grade or something. It's called horny goat weed.
Reminds me of most of the other things we talk about on this episode podcast. A lot of
reminds me of the other things you talk about.
No. If you watched the podcast before I was ever here, it was similar topics. That's the meta. Yeah, it's the meta.
Don't agree.
The drunken peasants meta. Well, then you're lying to yourself because it was always nasty. There was a poop butt segment on this show before I came here. That was your idea, right?
But that's comparing apples and oranges. And that was, yeah. And it wasn't my idea. I stole it from somewhere else.
You were the one that brought it to the show. So horny goat weed is an herb for low libido and erectile dysfunction. For those of you watching at home, just whatever we shill to you, use that instead. Are we on Blue Chew still? Do we still sell Blue Chew?
Not for like 5+ years.
Well, then we're going to have to get a deal with horny goat weed. It could be the future of erectile dysfunction for the Drunken Peasants podcast.
I'll get to work on that. I don't know. No, I don't normally take supplements. I've taken milk thistle because it's for liver support for my heavy drinking, but I don't normally take other, and I only take that as needed. And who knows if it even actually works. A lot of that shit's unproven. It's like anecdotal clinical research that doesn't have any real science behind it. That's how a lot of supplements are. A lot of like herbal medicine and stuff too. You never really know if it's just like you think it works, like there's a placebo, or if it actually has benefits. But yeah, I've taken it just in case, just to be safe. Because who knows?
Maybe it saved your life.
I doubt it. But it definitely, like, at least I thought I felt better after taking it, but it could have just been the time that I, like, the time that I had spent not drinking that made me feel better afterwards. So you never know. All right, we're going to start. Here we go. We're going live.
Everybody, have you heard about the Drunken Peasants Patreon? It helps support the show while getting you some cool perks. Check it out! For $1 per month, you get to use our exclusive fan chat that appears at the bottom of the screen on every episode. For $5 per month, you get 2 new private shows, including Actual Mania, as well as our back catalog of private shows, plus all lower-tier perks. For $10 per month, you get all of our monthly video content. This includes multiple post shows, our monthly reviews, our back catalog of all that content, plus all lower-tier perks. For $15 per month, your name will appear in the ending credits of each DP episode, plus all lower-tier perks. For $25 per month, you get to take part in our monthly booking committee hangout to help us book our Patreon content for that month, plus all lower-tier perks. For $33 per month, you get an exclusive piece of DP merch each month, plus all lower-tier perks. For $50 per month, you appear in the opening credits for each DP episode, plus all lower-tier perks. For $100 per month, you get to join us as a guest on an episode of the Drunken Peasants Podcast. Plus, you guessed it, all lower tier perks. Visit patreon.com/DP now to become a patron of the Drunken Peasants Podcast.
In the beginning, there was nothing. And then there was the Drunken Peasants Podcast.
I gotta get away with this. No!
Say, man, you got a joint? No, not on you, man.
I don't have facts to back this up.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
That's true. Sometimes I cry.
Oh! Lick my butthole, he laughed.
From the strangest corners of the internet, here to bring you opinions of the world from an altered perspective, here are your hosts, the Drunken Peasants.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Drunken Peasants Podcast. This is episode 1275. Doing it live, 1275. And we're back on another Thirsty Thursday once again. And when I say thirsty, I mean water. We're all drinking water because it's low in alcohol, low in sodium, low on everything except water. Water is very high in water. And I'm high on water.
It's very high in hydrogen.
Yeah, and oxygen. Yeah, it's wonderful. Wonderful, the wonderful world of water. That's what the whole show is going to be about. We're going to talk about water and all things water related.
Like Kevin Costner?
No, I was talking about the heads of Brett Keene's kids, actually.
Oh, well, you said all things water related.
Well, you got to talk about the biggest part.
What you would think would be the 1995 film Waterworld starring Kevin Costner, the highest budget movie to its date, terrible flop. Really derailed the man's career.
I wouldn't think that. I would not think that. I would not go there. I would not go there. Not at all. No. No. Back to Brett Keene's kids' heads. Everyone, please like the stream if you haven't already. And actually, I forgot to pin the tip link to the chat, so I'm going to do that really quick here if you want to help us reach our goal. I'm hoping that we could get to maybe like 60, maybe even 70% before the end of this stream. If you want to help contribute, it's pinned right there and you can send us a message and we'll read it or listen to it live on the stream. Also, immediately following tonight's episode, we are going to do a live reaction to the Star Wars Holiday Special as our monthly review. It's been a while since I've watched this. I noticed that on Disney Plus, they've uploaded pieces of it, like the Boba Fett animation. They put that on Disney Plus, but they've never released the whole holiday special.
Yeah, if people want to see Bea Arthur's stunning entry into the Star Wars universe, it's the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yeah.
Betty White ain't never win Star Wars.
I wonder who animated it. The animation's okay. You got to think of the context of when it was released. But I've never seen anything exactly like it the way it's drawn here. But the animation, in my opinion, was the best part of the holiday special. The worst part is the Wookiee family where you're just reading subtitles the whole time.
I can't believe you didn't like that.
No, it's awful. Pretty awful. Everyone, like the stream. We've got some old videos from the archives of Mama JF's now deleted channel where she tells some origin stories on how Mama JF came to be who she was. It's very interesting and insightful and may give us maybe even a clue as to where she is at this point. So
we're not going to give up on Mama JF. She could be hibernating until spring. We don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. We're looking for her about as hard as Cobra's looking for Puff. So she'll be found eventually, I'm sure. In one way or another. Maybe pieces of her. I don't know. But we can hope for the best. We can hope for the absolute best. And
we can't give up on Mama JF.
Yeah. Yeah. I won't. I seriously hope she's okay. but the odds are maybe not. But let's check this out. We'll start it off. Here we go.
Could he disappear?
All right. It's in two parts, and she sped up a little bit. Whoever re-uploaded this sped her up slightly. At first, I was like, is this some kind of weird AI of Mama JF? But it's not. It's her old video, and she's slightly sped up, but enough for you to be able to tell. Here it is.
It's me, Mama JF. How are you? Okay, so today I have decided to make a little video for you because I want to explain you something very important about the life. And also, I have a little message for Mr. Donald Trump.
So she wants to explain a few things to us about life, and she has a message for Donald Trump. I'm not sure when this was created, probably while Trump was president.
Do you think that's why she turned up missing, because she made a threat to Donald Trump?
No, I don't think she threatens Donald Trump here. I don't know exactly what she said, but I'm pretty sure she was a fan of Trump.
But first
of all, IWATC says if you turn it to 0.75, it'll be normal speed, but then it will take longer to watch.
I want you to listen to my story so you will understand better what I'm saying. Okay, so so let's start the story that happened in my life. This story started when I was 19 years old. When I was 19 years old, I was
just a baby
sick of everything.
When she was 19 years old, she was sick of everything.
That it was not normal that day. Since we were born, there's the government who's always telling us what to do. He's always telling us we need to go to school, we need to work. I thought it was not normal.
So she's just a natural rebel. She doesn't like the authority. She doesn't like the government controlling everything. She doesn't like having to work, having to go to school. She raged against the machine, basically.
I thought it was really weird, and I was fucking sick of it.
Hi, Nighthawks. I don't know what that's supposed
to
mean.
Yeah, I don't know what that comment's in reference
to. I'll say this, though, Nighthawks. Whatever you think that means, you're wrong, and you're going to continue to be wrong until you explain yourself, and then I might tell you if you're right.
Maybe he meant to call you Billy the Shrimp, and it was just a misspelling.
That also wouldn't apply to me.
And I wanted to learn something else. So I decided to buy a little airplane ticket and to just go away from all this. Okay, so I bought a little airplane ticket.
So she's talking about buying an airplane ticket and getting away from everything. Maybe that's what she did this time.
Maybe, but I don't think, according to JF, he dropped her off in the middle of nowhere where there wouldn't be an airport that she could easily hop on a plane. You'd think she would have asked him to drop her off at the airport if that was the case, but maybe she didn't want him to know she was getting on an airplane. Maybe she hitchhiked to the nearest airport after JF dropped her off in the middle of nowhere. Possibly.
Maybe she knew where D.B. Cooper's plane had went down, and she was going to fix the plane and fly away herself.
Because me, I just wanted to be free, you know, not having anybody fucking tell me what to do every day. And
she just wants to be free.
And okay, so I bought an airplane ticket of $200, and I went to France. Okay,
she went to France.
And then I started to live the real life. Like, I was free. Like, every day I would just be free. Oh, I had $0 in my pocket, and I would just do whatever I wanted every day. It was amazing. It was like,
how did you get to do whatever you wanted to with zero money in your pocket? How did that work?
Like, every day I would just go walking from town to town. I would meet some people. I made so many friends there in Europe, and it was so great. And like,
women don't need money; they get by on beauty alone.
But living more like the life God intended us to live, like meeting some people at the right time, and also I was looking in the garbage for some food.
Oh no!
Or I was playing my violin to get money. And to sleep.
I've seen her play the violin on a stream with JF before. I thought she got into the hobby because JF got her into it, but apparently she was busking around Europe with a violin. So
I would find a little hole
to sleep. She's got the heart of a vagabond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's kind of what JF said. But I think JF knows enough to kind of lean into this.
Man, every day. But often I just made friends who just invite me to sleep, so that was easy. So if you want a little resume of what I did in my travel, I can tell you, okay? Okay, so first I went to France. But that was just because the little airplane ticket was so cheap. So there I didn't stay for long. I just stayed there for like a week. I made some friends. Oh, those were my first friends. I made so many friends this travel. It was amazing. It was incredible. Because I always meet people who help me. So those were the first people. They showed me a little bit how to, you know, do panhandling and stuff and to live in the street.
She was panhandling.
Yeah. Yeah. She was basically.
She doesn't need money.
Yeah. Yeah. She was living on the streets.
So that was nice. In Marseille. And after that. But me, I wanted to go to Slovakia, okay?
Slovakia.
Because there was a big international rainbow gathering there. So that was my goal. So I had to go there. So I started...
Slovakia was the place in Eurotrip where, like, a nickel was, like, a crazy tip to give somebody. Where the guy, like, immediately quit his job and slapped his boss because he got a nickel as a tip.
To hitchhike. And also, dang. I took the train, and I didn't pay. You know, I just get on the train, and in Europe, you don't need to pay. So I did that. So after I went to...
You can get on the train and keep moving when the conductors come to, like, collect your ticket. You can, like, keep moving further away and try to get away with it.
To Italy. I went to Vienna.
They'll still catch you,
though. To Venice.
Keep going to the back of the train, eventually you're going to end up back at the stop you left.
A guy, he bring me, make
JF
a tour of the town.
JF has Mama JF stuffed just like that parrot.
But she is a beautiful bird, right?
Yes.
In a little boat, you know, for the tourists. Oh my, it was so nice. Like, it was like if I was a tourist, but I didn't pay for it because always people would invite me places. And in Venice, it looks so good. All the food looked good, but I had $0. So anyway, after that, I had to go through Austria to go to Slovakia. So I went there to Austria and Austria is a really crazy country. Like people are. Or, I don't know, they are like,
they speak German there?
That's so nice. In Vienna, I met a guy, and he bring me to the homeless shelter, and there was some people, they told me there was a nudist beach somewhere. So, they said,
so she went to Austria, she visited a homeless shelter, and a nudist beach.
Yeah, what if they were right next to each other? What if the homeless shelter was on the nudist beach?
Austrian functionality is... top tier.
I've been to Austria. It's not bad. I haven't been to Vienna. That's like the big city there.
We're gonna go
where
to
the sausages
beach.
Come
so I went
from.
There with them. And then it was so nice. Like just beside the beach, there was like a little park with the trees and with the little benches. And there everyone was naked. Oh my God. It was so great. Like it was the first time I saw this in my life. Like there was so many people. Everybody was naked. Like little families and stuff. Like young people.
So this is how she dipped her toes into the public nudity thing, and that's why, probably why she got involved in the whole like nude bike ride thing.
This always happens when you go to an Austrian homeless shelter.
Oh my God, it was so great, and it was great. And after that in Austria also, because I just walk around all day and I talk to everyone, and I would just ask everyone like, what is there to do here? What is the most nice thing to do here? So somebody told me I should go to the Rose Garden. And that's a little bit more like in Salzburg. And so I went there and there was the Mozart town. Salzburg is the Mozart town. Okay, and it's fucking weird. Like everybody's dressed like
the
Mozart.
What?
And they all have white hair like Mozart.
The there's Mozart like town? The Mozart town.
Yeah, it's maybe it's Mozart. Maybe town. It's where Mozart is from originally.
Mozart in the
everybody
street,
has white hair like Mozart there.
That's weird.
It's so weird. It's really weird there. Okay.
And she agrees.
I went to the Rose Garden. This is like a big garden where I think the song
where there are roses
or something. I don't know. And after after that, okay, in Austria, something bad happened to me because the people there, I don't know, man. And there's a guy, okay, I don't know why, but he took all my stuff, everything I had, like my violin, my backpack, my hammock, everything.
Did she get robbed?
And my passport.
Some guy took all her stuff.
Yeah.
So he took everything. Okay, after that, I had nothing at all. I had nothing. So I was like, but then I discovered really the real life. That was great. That was an amazing moment of my life when I left everything I had. And then I would just walk somewhere. I had no more problems. I would just wake up and go somewhere, and God would always take care of me of anything I want.
It's kind of similar to her JF story, how she lost everything because she was obsessed with JF. She told the whole story, you know?
She needs nothing because she's a child of the earth. My meds are kicking in right now. I have to run. I'll be right back.
Oh, you got
to
go pee-pee?
I got to run.
All right. Do it. Do that pee-pee thing.
Anything I needed, he would just give me. And then I started to, like, really believe in God because it was so amazing. I would just go around. I had no backpack, no nothing. I was just, like, a free spirit in the world, and God was taking care of everything for me. And there's not really...
Yeah, God was taking care of you so well. You were living on the streets, and you had nothing. Way to go, God. Thank you.
Normal things that
happen. Is she, like... She feels lucky because she didn't die. That was God. God kept her well enough to not die. Thank you, God. Thank you for doing that.
Happened. Like, after that, okay, I went to Slovakia, and...
I like how terrible things can happen to people, but because the most terrible thing doesn't happen, God protected them and God is great. It's like, well, if God really gave a shit about you, you wouldn't even be in the bad situation, right? How can you thank God for not for the worst thing not happening, but still, like, all this other horrible shit happened?
Eric, okay. I wanted to go to a little party first, okay, and... So, but me, I'm like, oh, whatever, the party is like, yeah.
Yeah, like, parents who have little kids that have never done anything wrong in their lives getting, like, terminal cancer, and they go through all this horrible shit and all this horrible, painful treatment, and then, yeah, the cancer goes away, and they thank God. It's like, but why didn't God just stop your kid from getting cancer? I don't understand this shit.
1,000 kilometers from here, like, I don't care, I'm just gonna walk there. Me, I'm always like this in my life, I don't care.
Woo!
So I started to walk, and it was like late. It was like midnight. No, it was like 10 p.m. maybe. And then I started to walk, and after like a few hours, there's a bus that stopped right beside me, and I was like, "What the fuck? What's this?" I didn't even see
what
the bus.
What the fuck?
He just stopped. So I was like, "Okay." So I get in the bus, and I thought it would go faster in the bus maybe. And then in the bus, I see a girl with the blue hair. So I was like, oh my God. And then I started to talk to her. I was like, hey, do you know this party is there? And she was like, yes, I know those people. And like, oh, it was so crazy. Like, everything was happening great. Like, so after she was
blue-haired
like, going there,
women
she said,
are
I'm going to
be
there. I know those people. And so I went to the party like this. And
Did Onision teach you that?
Marge Simpson taught me that.
Oh.
And then all my travels started to be like this. Like, all the time. I would always meet the right people at the right time. And it was really crazy. Like, then I really started to believe in God. I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. How can this happen?
I think she is speaking in Animal Crossing language right now.
This is how I started to believe in God in the life. But anyway, so after that, I went to the little party. After that, I went to the rainbow gathering.
Oh, the rainbow gathering. Yeah, though that's like some weird hippie cult. that's some interesting weird hippie
more
shit.
More nudist stuff.
Yeah, and it's just like a weird group
in Slovakia, and this was a big rainbow.
And they were like all over the world. They have them all over the states and Europe and everywhere.
Like, I maybe 10,000 people. It was like huge, okay, and it was a big. You know, they make a European one, so there was a lot of people there. I met some friends there and stuff.
Yeah, people who live on those rainbow buses. It's a really great way not to have to send your address into the government when you've been caught for a sex crime.
Breakdance.
Because you have no address.
In Slovakia. And that was so great. Like, people were doing breakdance in the mall, in a big mall. It was so nice. And
they were breakdancing. It was so nice.
Another party. And there I met a guy. Okay, this guy became a really good friend. His name was Adam.
Does she ever breathe when she talks?
Well, this is
that's why she sounds the way she does.
Well, this is sped up.
Oxygen.
No, this is like seriously. Everyone who's never like interacted with someone from the French part of Canada when they first heard Mama JF, and because of the nuance of, you know, JF's other girlfriend that got taken away from him, they heard her speak and just assumed that she is like mentally challenged, but in reality it's just her accent. It sounds weird.
I assumed she was mentally challenged because she was dating JF.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, he's dated other women that are like college graduates and stuff like that. So I don't know.
And, also there was another girl event, like, because at the end of the party,
it's funny how the Asian one that he used to date lives in Seattle now. Like the whole Asian fetish that JF has can be traced back to this woman that he worked with at Duke University, and she was his co-host on his science show that was funded by Jeffrey Epstein.
Hmm.
Yep, and she lives in Seattle now, because I was researching everyone from these videos and found her LinkedIn page, and it turns out she lives in Seattle and works out here now.
I'm going to go home, because, yeah.
I think she had to stop going to Duke University because her affair with JF got them both in trouble. That was the affair that he ended up having to work. He ended up getting fired from Duke because of.
I hate when that happens.
Yep.
I wanted to come back here in Quebec because I wanted to study carpentry. But at the end of the party, I met this.
Carpentry, just like Jesus. Oh, this is where she meets this man that she ends up forming a relationship with.
His name was Adam. And he said, hey, what's up? You should come with me because I'm going to see my friends in Germany. And they live in a commune and they're so nice people. So you should come with me. So I was like, all right, let's go there. And so I went there with him. But that's crazy too when you think about it, because if he wasn't there, Adam, I would have come back here. So this is all like, I think God wanted me to go there. Seriously.
And God then, wanted her to go.
So then I went there with him and we lived in a commune in Berlin. And there was a bunch of punks, and it was so nice. They live in like abandoned wagons, train wagons, and it was so nice. There, I made a boyfriend there, and it was nice. I made great friends there. After that, I went to another party in Hamburg.
I wonder what she keeps looking at. Is JF like sitting in the corner staring at her?
I had the opposite problem once when I thought I was dating a French Canadian woman, but it turned out she was mentally challenged.
There you go. Yeah, it's easy to think that.
It's like a flip of a coin.
Most people have only heard Celine Dion sing and have never heard her speak. Go watch a Celine Dion interview.
Yeah, she is a little challenged.
There, I met a guy. And he wanted to make me visit, like, Hamburg. And there, you know what we said? There was the Occupy Hamburg. And they were there since, like, 2 years. Eh? Like, here in New York, they stay, I don't know, 6 months. But there, they stay, like, fucking a long time. Eh? Like, every time the police would kick them out.
So she got involved with a German Occupy protest, presumably, when all of them were happening all over the world. It's interesting that she was almost like a far leftist at this point, and then she ended up moving in and forming a relationship with a white nationalist. Far
female
right.
Female Forrest Gump.
She's going to run across Europe.
We just built a new camp like somewhere else in the town. They were like really resistant. Like, so, oh my, and when I went there, they were celebrating the exact 2 years that they had been there. Exactly the day when I came there. Oh, that was so crazy. Oh my God, I couldn't believe it. Like, then I really started to believe in God because that was not normal. Seriously.
She keeps mentioning, this is a reason I believe in God. This is a reason I believe in God. She mentioned the fact, when you were out of the room, she mentioned the fact that she was homeless and people stole all of her shit and she was all alone and had nothing to her name. But because she didn't die, she knew God was taking care of her.
God gives its hardest test to his greatest servants.
And the less possessions you have, you start to be like really like, I don't know, something happened with the life. You can just go like a little electron or something. I don't know. Hey, also, I read a book from Seneca once, and he said you should go live in the street and abandon all your possessions. And then you will
and when she got all her possessions stolen,
yeah,
she had to live in the streets. So it worked out perfectly.
Yeah.
Good thing she read that book or else life might have been terrible.
And the true meaning of the life. And I was like, yeah, man, that's what I did when I was young. Jeez, I already knew this. Oh my God. Anyway, so after that, I was in Hamburg for a while. After that, I came back to Berlin to see my friends at Punks. And my friend Adam, he was still there. And both of us, we wanted to, I don't know, do something else now. So he said, okay, no, Mama Tia, I will bring you to my house. So we went to his house, and he was from Hungary. So we went to Budapest together, and we just took the train. And he was keeping the train too. And there, we even got cut by the controllers. But we were so much swell, like, in our seat, and we were sleeping. And the controllers were like, oh, it's okay, just go.
Okay, so they got caught being on the train without paying, but the people apparently were like, don't worry about it. Another thing, God watching over her. Wow.
Yeah, God loves it when you steal from the train system.
Don't care. It's usually they kick you out, you know. But anyway, that was funny. So, yeah, so we went to Budapest. There we live with his friends. And, oh my God, this guy, he was really a good friend. Like, he didn't even fuck me.
He was really a good friend. He didn't fuck her?
Apparently, I think, I don't know if she means, like, sexually or, like screwing her over. I don't know what she means, but I'm kind of leaning towards the first one. He was good. Because she, in this story so far, she's mentioned all of these people, mostly men, and she didn't say that they were good and didn't fuck her. So I'm assuming maybe all of them did.
They probably all did. She was living the street life.
Yeah.
This guy was probably disgusted by her street existence, and all these other guys were nasty street men that were like, yeah, I'll fuck. And this guy was like, oh, you're all gross and dirty. I'm not trying to have sex with you. I'm here to drop off this soup and get away.
Seriously, he never fucked me. Like, a friend like this is rare. So we went to live there with his friends.
A friend that doesn't fuck you is rare.
I made another boyfriend with his friend. Then his friend bring me to the after party of a big festival there. I think it's called Ozora. And we went to the after party because it was over. So we went to chill with all the organizers. Hey, and the Hungarians, they are so nice. Like, seriously, they look like Quebecers a little bit. Like, in the way they talk, like, they make like jokes like Quebecers. They made me think of my people. Maybe, you know why? Because I think their language is so complicated that they are like really clever. And yeah, they are so nice. The Hungarians are the nicest people, I think. But anyway, so... oh, yeah, after that, my friend said, hey, I know a place, a nice place near Budapest. And he bring us there. It was a bunch of tree houses, but I never said something like this. Like,
she went to Budapest and went to a place full of tree houses.
There was.
Oh, I thought she said three houses.
I thought she said maybe she did say three houses.
I was going from homeless to having three houses. That's amazing.
I heard it as she went to a place and there's a bunch of tree houses, but you could be right. She could have said there's three houses, let's say.
Such a huge tree houses in the trees.
Okay, no, in the trees. Okay.
And they were all like abandoned. Like
abandoned tree houses. There are up in the Cascades, there's a ton of big tree houses with multiple rooms that people have built.
I heard abundant tree houses. There was just they were abundant. They had many tree houses ready for you. Her accent's throwing me off.
Like, it was not like a tourist place. Like, it was like abandoned tree houses in the trees. And that was like huge passerelle. Like, huge little bridges in between.
Huge little bridges? Hmm.
Yeah.
And the bridges were like so long and so high in the air. It was like scary.
Does not sound little. It must be thin.
And it was abandoned. I don't know why it was there. But yeah, it was so great. Like, the tree houses. Oh my,
I think it was an abandoned Ewok village, more than likely.
Yeah, this is. This is when the female Forrest Gump landed on fucking Endor, dude.
Like eight tree houses all connected by those bridges, and it was amazing. Like, I don't know how my friend knew this, but he's from there, so. But that was, like, so great. We stayed there a couple of days, sleeping in the tree houses. Oh, my God.
That's how you know God is good. When you're homeless, he gives you a fucking Wookiee encampment to sleep in.
Yeah, so after that, I told my friend Adam, I was like, I didn't know what to do anymore, like, where to go next. So he told me. Because it was starting to be, like, the winter, so I couldn't really live, like, in the street really anymore.
All right, so now we're going to learn how well of a winter survivalist Mama JF is.
Okay, cool. This, I hope Puff is out there listening right now.
No, well, they're probably together.
He told me I should go to Spain, because in Spain it's always hot, and the people are nice. And he told me there's a nice rainbow in the south of Spain, in Andalusia, and I should go there.
Okay, you can see rainbows... in a lot of places. You don't have to go to Spain to see it. Or maybe she means the rainbow gathering. She might have been like hopping around between like the rainbow gatherings because they're everywhere.
Yeah, we don't know where she's at mentally right now. She could be with the buses. She could actually be talking about rainbows. She could be mad that the government is making rainbows happen as some sort of gay agenda.
Spain does have pretty good weather for Western Europe.
Okay, so then I said, wow, that's a good idea. So I said goodbye to my friend. And that's the last time I saw him. Oh, he was so great, this guy. But anyway. So, okay. So then I traveled to Spain. I went to some little party there. And then I arrived at the Rainbow, okay? This is where the important part of the story starts, okay?
Okay.
Because this is really important, okay? So I was in... Okay, so I went to the little Rainbow. But it turned out, I think it was like the mafia there. I don't know. It was kind of weird. Like, it was on a guy's property. And he was like, yes, I'm Balthazar. I'm the master of the Rainbow. You're in my house, not you're on my property.
His name was Balthazar? Can't hear you, man. I don't know if your mic is messing up or...
He was the master of the Rainbow.
So not Lucky the Leprechaun.
No, he was Balthazar, the master of the Rainbow. They were in his house.
And I don't know, he had like
a big
house. And he had like some sex slaves or something. I don't know. There was something going on there. And
slaves.
A guy named Balthazar would have sex slaves.
Even Balthazar Getty, Estelle Getty's grandson, had sex slaves.
I think they were selling drugs because they always had the, how they call it, they always made like a council, but they always had the council like in his house at 2 a.m. And we don't really know what happened. Anyway, so anyway, but that was nice there. There was some so nice people there and it was small Rainbow and everybody was nice.
All right. Part two.
And there I met a very important guy. Okay? His name is San Sebastian and he was a German guy. He was a German Aryan phenotype, like with the blonde hair, you know, like.
Ah, this was her dipping her toes into the, cause she said he was a German Aryan phenotype. And that phenotype, that's one of JF's words that he uses a lot. His book is called The Revolutionary Phenotype. Your mic is messed up again.
I thought that she had said stereotype.
Nope, she said phenotype.
Yeah, the idea that she would go from that to JF is that JF's not that phenotype.
No.
He became
JF boyfriend. Is the Ron Jeremy phenotype.
Yes. And he understood.
I don't think JF's packing what Ron Jeremy was packing, if you know what I mean.
I have no idea. Everything
I said about being free, I didn't want to be like a slave in the society. And he was so great. He wanted to do the same thing like me. He wanted to just live the life like in the nature. And you know what? He had a big project, okay? He wanted to go to live in the jungle. This guy's...
Oh, that's what JF will say next, is that she ran away to be with this guy in the jungle somewhere.
Welcome to the jungle.
Fucking crazy. Okay? He was young. Like me, I was 19. He was 21. And he was traveling for like 5 years. And he wanted to go live in the jungle. Okay. To make his life there and just eat the fruits and the trees and just get away from society and just be like animals, you know, like just make babies in the forest. That would be much more natural.
Babies.
And he was a funny guy. Okay. And okay. So he told me, come with me, Mama GF. Even back then, my name was Mama GF. Okay.
Yes. No, it wasn't, liar.
So he told me, come with me. We will go to live in the jungle together. And so I was
we all thought her name was Mama JF because she was dating JF Gary Epi. But that was her name way before they ever met.
Does it stand for Jesus Freak? Mama Jesus Freak?
Yep.
Me, a guy who tells me something like this, like, let's go live in the jungle, you know, away from sight. It's like, it really works for me. Like if you tell me something like this, I will go with you, Lynn. Okay, so I went there with him. So we started to travel together after the Rainbow. So we were living in Spain. And this guy, he was really like, he had this project, okay? I can't believe, he was just 21 years old and he was like, okay, he's a really funny guy, okay? And so he really wanted to go to the jungle. And the closest jungle was in Africa, okay? In the Congo. So we had a big project.
You're going to live in the Congo, an unstable region in the jungle.
Making our life there.
If she can make it in the Congo, she can make it in Canada.
Burning our passports and burning everything and just live there like Adam and Eve, you know? And and he was very clever. So what we did, we went to live in the port of Spain, okay? And there, we lived there about like a month, okay? It was crazy. Like every day, we would just go there and we would try to spot like a captain or something, somebody who owned a big ship and who could bring us to the Congo or to Africa somewhere.
I wouldn't. Okay, if you're trying to get to the Congo, you don't want to just settle for anywhere in Africa. More than likely, Africa's pretty big, and there's a big thing in the center of it called the Sahara Desert that makes it hard to get from one side to the other side of it.
Do you remember? But yeah, everybody, every captain that we asked to bring us, they said, "Yeah, I could bring you, but I had no passport, so he didn't want to bring us without a passport." Because you remember, I got stolen everything when I was in Austria, so I didn't have a passport. So it was very difficult. We didn't find anybody who wants to bring us. So it was very sad. So one day, San Sebastian, he had an illumination, okay? I don't know where he got that clip from his head, but he said, "Hey, I know a place where we can go. And it belongs to Spain, but it's on the African continent."
Yeah, it's really weird. If you look at northwestern Africa on a map, there's little pieces of Spain, like the actual country of Spain, on the African continent. It's really strange.
Spain spunk.
So it's almost like, I'm guessing they went down there because they were already in Spain, and then they probably illegally crossed the border, let's say.
Yeah, they don't need passports for that.
So we can just take a boat and go there, and like this, we're going to be in Africa already. Then we just have to find a way to go to Congo, you know, that's it. So
it's pretty far away from the Congo, though. The Congo's all the way on the other side of Africa.
That was very clever of him. I don't know where he took this information from. But this, there's a place in Africa. It's called Septa or Sirta. I don't know how you say this. And it's in Morocco. But it's like just
the
a little.
The white gorillas in the Congo captured Mama JF and made her their sex slave.
That sounds like a weird, like, sexploitation film from the 70s or something.
I don't support sex slaves, but I would watch that film.
It's like it belongs to Spain. And really, when you look at it, it looks like a bit artificial. I don't know. It looks weird.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, it's right there. Because, like, this is the place where the European and African continents almost touch. And that's called the Gibraltar Strait. And I guess, I don't know when this was annexed by Spain. Maybe even, like, during medieval times. Or maybe when the Moors were in control of Spain. But, yeah, that's, like, literally, it's not just a territory. It's literally part of Spain in Africa. Very strange.
Yeah.
I don't know what this sound is, but interesting.
So,
yeah.
There, you can just take the boat from Spain and go there. And they don't ask you for a passport or anything. So we could go there. So we went there and we thought like we could just go through the fence or something, go find a hole to go there. So when we arrived, first we tried to just walk through the frontier, but they asked us for my passport.
All right. Someone says 16th century. Yeah. Yeah. It seems like it had been that way for a while.
So it didn't work. So then we started to walk. Okay. This guy, he was so great. Like, with him, we would just walk all day. Like he was just so great. Like, yeah, I like to walk too. So we just walk all day and talk to every. He wanted to talk to everyone, and my God, he was always making like social analysis. He really liked to do that. Like, I don't know, he was just like, "Oh, look at those people. They live like this, and it means this about them." I don't know, he just did that naturally. And so we started to walk, and we would walk all the frontier until we find a little hole where we can pass through, and then we would be in Morocco. So then we start to walk. But there was a...
Morocco is very far from the Congo.
Big wall all around Septa. It was impossible to go through it. It was a huge wall. Like, I don't know, here we don't even have a wall, but there in Africa they have big walls, okay? So we were very sad. And this is, like, so small, it took us, like, 2 or 3 days to get through it. So we were, like...
It's over 5,000 miles. Or no, I'm sorry, kilometers. They're giving it to me in kilometers. It's over 5,000 kilometers from Morocco to the Congo. And
it's 12,000 miles, 14,000. I don't know. It's up there.
I'm so bad at conversions.
2.2 miles per kilometer.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's insane. That's such a crazy distance. And like 2/3 of that is through the Sahara.
Okay. But then at some point, okay, there was some place where we slept. Okay. And it was like a big platform. And when we woke up in the morning, there was like a bunch of people who came to talk to us.
When you convert 5,000 kilometers to miles, it's 3,100 miles. A mile is bigger than a kilometer.
And they were like people from Africa mostly, and Arabs and stuff. And they came to talk to us, and us, we just talked to everyone. So we were like, "Hey, how are you? What are you doing here? What you do in your life and stuff?" And so they told us they came from Africa and now they live in the UN camp. And there was a fucking huge UN camp there in SEPTA. And they said they just crossed the border with a boat. And then they come to the UN camp and they're going to be redistributed in Europe. Like soon. They were waiting to go to Europe. They wait like 1 year and then they go to a country there. And we were like, wow, that's great. That's
amazing.
You know,
when J.F. Gary Epi was arguing that Mama J.F. wasn't Jewish and he was trying to get her blood report back, she's kind of lived the life.
She's
out here walking.
He made her take one of those like ancestry DNA tests. And I think he even showed it to everybody because he was getting trolled by people saying she was Jewish. And he was like, oh, no. Like, that would be the worst thing ever.
The way this story is going, I wouldn't be surprised if she parted the Red Sea.
And we were like, yeah, because San Sebastian.
Well, she's going to go all the way from Spain to the Congo. Why not, you know, take a detour up to Israel while she's at it?
It could happen.
We're like, yeah, it should be more easy to go to Europe. Everyone should be free on the earth. Because, yeah, San Sebastian, he was a bit like brainwashed. He was really brainwashed, actually. Huh? Like he said, he keeps talking.
You can go there and be free all you want, but that place is also free for, like, warlords and marauders that just kind of, like, go through that area and there's no law to control them.
Mama JF is actually short for Mad Marauder.
Yeah, she probably was. She was probably in Coney's army at that point, right? Because it was like 2012, 2013.
Talking against
she
the white people.
She was famous for getting Coney dogged.
And now I realize, like, oh, he was really brainwashed. He was a leftist. Like, he kept saying white people are crazy. The Africans are much better. They are much more relaxed. Then he said,
it is crazy that you were going to purposefully move to Africa and live in the jungle there, and then you ended up living with someone who wants an all-white ethnostate. Life takes some crazy turns.
The white people, all we do is destruction and stuff like this. Like, he had no respect for our culture and our people. And yeah, not realized that. And he said, there should be no frontier. We should break all the frontiers. People should be free to go everywhere on the earth. And yeah, not realize that he was a bit brainwashed. And also, you know,
it's so dumb to define culture by race alone. Like, I have more in common with African Americans than I do with white people in Spain or other parts of Europe. Like, my culture is more similar to theirs. It's just dumb to define culture by race at, like, specifically.
No, he said one time, he said because his parents were living in the communist part of Germany after World War II. So he said, oh, yeah, you know, the communists, they are much more happy. They live together. That's great. He said that. Anyway, now I just realized that. And, so we were like, wow, that's great. They're going to Europe. That's really great. And every day we would see a little boat coming with, like, I don't know, 20 people. They just crossed the frontier. Okay, do you understand what I mean? Like, I'm going to put a little picture here, okay, to illustrate what I'm saying.
Okay, let's see it. All right.
Hey.
You know I love maps. I'm a cartography enthusiast.
So she was here in Kuwait?
Yeah. So she found a way there, and I'm guessing there's like a weird neutral zone too. Most borders don't have a neutral zone that large between them. That's interesting. Yeah, I've never really examined this. I've been to the Mediterranean.
Morocco doesn't want anybody getting through there.
Apparently, well, it's probably the other way around, but I don't know. I don't know for sure. Look, there's even a Spanish island just, like, north. If you look at, like, the northwestern part of the map, there's, like, a little red line, and above that, there's an island that's part of Spain, too. So they've got all kinds of little satellite land that's part of Spain over here.
Spain spunk everywhere.
They just crossed the border, like, it's not like...
So they got in a boat. It's kind of like what people do coming from Mexico to California. They get in a boat and they go, like, a couple miles out into the ocean, and then they hook around. They do, like, a big U-ey and hit the shore in California somewhere.
Because the ceiling. And yeah, all those people we talked to, they look like rich kids, you know, like, they all have brand new cell phone, and we asked them, oh, is it the war in your country? And they were like, no, it's not the war. We just want to go to Europe. And I was like, oh, my God. And it was weird. It looked artificial. Seriously, like, it looked like it's made up. It's a made up place. Because it was, like, too easy. And there must be places like this, like, everywhere. And like, this is just one of them. Like, I put another picture here so you can understand.
Ah, I still don't understand what we're...
She's trying to explain how they got from one place to the other. It's weird that she, there's another part of Spain that's connected to Morocco in the upper right corner. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Melilla? It might be a Y, because a double L in Spanish is usually a Y sound.
Melilla.
Like tortilla. Yeah, yeah. Interesting. So, Agent 006 in the chat is like, oh, Vulcan is in Canada. I'm guessing that's like a Star Trek reference. Romulus is in Michigan. That's where the Detroit airport is, in Romulus, Michigan.
Okay, so, yeah, so...
But it's probably just named after the Roman myth of Romulus and Remus.
That's it for then. So, we ended up... So, yeah, if you want to know the end of the story, me and my boyfriend, we ended up crossing the frontier. You know how I did it? Because there was a time on, like, Sunday morning, there was a big, like, Arab market, I don't know, and all, there was plenty of Arab girls who came from one side to the other. I think they were buying stuff or something, I don't know. And there was, like, plenty of them. So me, I just put a scarf, I don't know how you call it, and I disguised like a Muslim, and so I just...
That's how, when she went into Morocco, no one cared, because she just looked like another Moroccan woman. Kind of smart.
She put on the scarf. Did her friend with her do it as well? Did he sneak in with the Moroccan garb?
I don't know. Like, men, they don't get as scrutinized as women in, like, a Muslim country. But I don't know. Maybe. I mean, she's making it sound like he looked like he was some sort of, you know, Nordic-looking guy. So I don't know if he would blend in quite as well.
By culture, the men are not allowed to talk or confront the women, and they're the only ones with the official positions. So you can pretty much put on a female Moroccan garb, and get anywhere you want.
Went through there, and they didn't ask me for nothing. That was so funny. Oh my God, that was so funny. And you know how we got this? We just knock on doors. We just knock on the door, and we ask somebody to give us a Arab clothing. Because they're in their religion, the Muslims, if you need clothing or food, and you ask them, you can just knock on the door, and it's like in their religion, they just give to you. Yes, because we talked to a lot of
Muslims. What a perfect hack for a homeless beggar.
And they say that to us. They say, in the Muslim religion, you have to give 10% of your revenue to the poor. So, yes, we just did.
Suckers!
So then somebody gave us
give me my 10%, I'm poor.
In our religion, you give 10% to drunken peasants. By the way, tip train. We're over 50%, guys. It'd be amazing if you could get us to 60% before the end of tonight's stream. We still got about an hour and a half left. So there's the link right at the top of the chat. If you want to tell us what you think about this Mama JF stuff, where do you think she is? Do you think she's exhibited enough intelligence for her to survive a brutal Canadian winter? Did she go back to Europe? Is she in South America? I don't know. Is she in JF's backyard? I don't know. Let us know what you think in the form of money.
Close, so I could just go there through the front door. That was like so funny. That was one of the most funny things I did in my life. Anyway, so after we were in Morocco, then we got stuck in Morocco. We hitchhiked okay, from the and through the whole Sahara Desert until I don't know which country is on the south, but then they asked me for my passport again. So we didn't know what to do. So after we came back, and we got
they
stuck
asked me
there.
For my passport, and we didn't know what to do. They just let you chill there without a passport.
Yeah, like how the hell did she get on a plane to get back to Canada is my question. Did she like stowaway on a ship?
Maybe she found her way to the consulate.
Maybe. Consulate. That is honestly what you're supposed to do if you're overseas and you lose your passport and there's nobody that can send you any documentation or anything. You are supposed to go there and report. First of all, to report it lost. So no one else can use it.
We were in every city in Morocco. We were there like 3 months. But that was
She's
fun.
Totally
it was a fun time.
Dead.
Hey, no. Urban Mask. That's why we're having this celebration of life right now.
Celebrate good life. Come on.
She has a wonderful story she's telling here. It's unfortunate that she sounds like a fucking sped Muppet.
The Muslim people, they are like so nice and they all want you to come live in their house, and they all want to invite you for dinner and stuff. So it was funny time, eh? And they're in Morocco, seriously. Like the people, they live in the countryside. They live like in a big house with all the family.
Nice.
And,
oh my-
yes. Tithes. Thank you so much for tithing to the Church of DP. Now, if we can only get it so that I don't have to pay taxes anymore, we need to make it an official church. Jeff Holliday tried to do it. He said people talked him out of it. Remember when he was creating Scientarianism?
Yeah.
I was like, really, damn, what a great idea.
He really should have went through with that so we could have copied him afterwards.
Yeah.
It's so great. Like, people that are great. Seriously. And but anyway, that's not important, okay? Because what is important in my story right now, okay, is that I want to explain you something, okay?
She went back to live with 80s pro wrestling superstar Don Morocco.
Don Morocco. Yeah, his manager when he was in the WWF back in the day was Superstar Billy Graham, and they used to both wear these tie-dyed shirts. It's pretty sweet. During his face turn. I think before that it might have been Jimmy Hart or maybe the Grand Wizard, maybe? One of those heel managers.
This place called Sir Target. Like,
I never really watched that era. I don't know Don Morocco very well. I used to get him confused for Dino Bravo.
He was also
totally different wrestlers.
Yeah, Dino Bravo had blonde hair, but they were kind of similar looking. They were pretty big muscle guys. Dino Bravo was Italian by ancestry, but he was French-Canadian, like where he actually lived. He was actually killed by he was involved in like smuggling cigarettes illegally off of reservations in Canada, and he was killed by some sort of organized crime.
Was murdered gangland style.
Don Morocco is still alive. Looks like he was born in Hawaii. I don't know what his ethnic background is, but he was a pretty good heel. He was the first wrestler that I'm aware of to be known as The Rock. He was The Rock Don Morocco, and then later on he became The Magnificent Morocco after that. So.
Here for you, okay? I really want you to understand what I'm saying, okay?
Oh, Mr. Fuji was his manager at one point.
I'm glad she puts these maps in.
A normal place, okay? If we were in the real life, okay, the Spain would protect its borders, okay? And there would be nobody going from one side to the other. That would be impossible. But no, because there is a UN camp, okay? People can just go there, and then they are greeted in the Europe. You see the whole difference that the UN camp makes on our life, okay? So I think it's not normal, because let's say the UN camp decides to bring this migrant to Germany or something, or France. Well, France and Germany never agreed to receive these migrants. So it's like if the UN was taking control over our life, okay? Because do you understand that the UN is a thing created to serve us? Like, it's all the countries, they get together, and they made something that they could use. But now, today, it's reversed. It's the UN that uses the country to bring migrants into Europe. And this is not normal. It's not...
This is some of the JF indoctrination.
Mama
here.
JF and Puff have dug a 6-foot hole in the Casper soil and are now hibernating for the winter, obviously. They brought lots of poutine and pink Tampico punch meat to sustain themselves until March.
Delicious. Can't wait.
Yeah, between Mama JF's survival skills she learned from JF Gariepi and the survival skills that Puff learned from King Cobra, they're going to be just fine in that burrowing hibernation hole.
Something natural. You understand what I mean? It's like forced. And it's non-consensual from the countries. And also, there's something else. Because the UN is an international space, so it's not even in the countries. So everyone can go there. There's no border. So I think this is not good. It's not working. Because if the UN camp wouldn't be there, there would be no migrants crossing from one side to the other. And yes. So I think the UN camps...
A lot of the migrants were from Syria, and there's been a war going on in Syria for a very long time, and the president of Syria does not care if there's civilian casualties. So that's why they were migrating. It's not too... I mean, there was the Arab Spring, and there was a lot of displacement from the Middle East and North Africa to Europe.
Are illegitimate, they're anti-constitutional, and they violate the normal processing of the countries to receive migrants in the countries. Okay? So I think that UN camps, you should research it. There must be a lot of it along the border, and I think it's all because of them. Because if they would not be there, the countries would be able to protect their borders. But now, because they have made this international space on their frontier, on their country.
Dragsaw, not dead from all the chocolate he ate.
I didn't think so.
What do you mean all the chocolate he ate? Oh, yeah, spoilers. actual Mania last night.
Speaking of spoilers, did you see Cobra's new mead? We're going to talk about it later. Did you see what he's putting in it now?
I don't know. Was it eggnog?
And chocolate milk. And he's going to let that sit and ferment in his closet at room temperature for like a week. This might be what takes Cobra out. He's about to drink spoiled milk and eggnog.
And I think it's really bad. And that is leading to the modification of our population. And yes, that's what I have to tell you today, okay? Because that's what made me realize all this. Because at the time, I didn't realize. I was like, wow, this is great. Like,
Boglum, you know, reacts, says, I think he put it in the fridge.
Well, then it's not fermenting. Okay, well, that's good for him, and I'm glad. But what is it then? I don't know.
People are suggesting he's making boozy cheese.
After that, when I came back here, but I thought it was weird. It didn't seem natural. And then when I came back here and I started to watch TF and all this, it all started to make sense. I was like, wow, okay, this is why they put it there at the UN camp. Because it's really not normal when you think about it. It's not natural at all. And also, I wanted
Now it's nighttime.
Whoa. To add that, when I started to watch GF, this is not the only thing I understood about the migrants and the...
I guarantee you, GF was like, you forgot to say this. I want you to go film more. Because it's about him. And this looks like a hostage video at this point.
It looks like she got roughed up before filming.
Yeah.
I gotta go to the bathroom again.
Hey, welcome to my world. All right.
Natural at all. And also, I wanted to add that when I started to watch GF, this is not the only thing I understood about the migrants and the UN camps, but I also understood why I wanted so much to be free in my life and why this travel felt so good to me.
I am being treated well. JF has taught me the wonders of his benevolence. That's basically what she's doing here.
And it's because we actually live in a communist society, and since we are born, the government is always telling us what to do and telling our parents how to live. And this leaves no place for innovation and for creativity. And this is what I was truly searching for when I went in this travel. I was really searching for an experience that came from myself, not something that came from an external source or from the government who tell me what to do. Everything I did in this travel, it came from myself and from my intuition, my desires. And this is what allowed me to become truly myself. And I think that's what the society lacks today, is that people cannot become themselves. Because they are surrounded by the government in every aspect of their life. And I truly understood what means communism. And that's why I liked this travel so much, and it felt so good. And I was searching for this all my
life. I mean, there's quite a few ways in my lifetime that the government used to impede on people's lives and now doesn't as much. Like legal weed. Weed is becoming more and more legal. It was completely illegal when I was born and throughout most of my youth and teenage years and early 20s. It wasn't until I was over... Weed wasn't legalized in the U.S. until, Colorado and Washington did it first. And at that point, I was already in my early 30s at that point. So there are... It's not... She's acting like it's getting worse and it's now worse than ever before, and that's not the case.
And
love
I
the
understand.
Character development from Mama JF, from this to paragliding with hummus.
Yes!
That's gross.
Yeah, she was paragliding with hummus, which is a delicious chickpea garlicky paste. I love it.
Said really this delicious. When I watched GF, because he talks a lot about freedom and about the government, and I knew all this intuitively, but GF really put some words on it, and that's why I love him so much. And thank you, Gia, for explaining all this to us. And for me, that was my...
Ah, nice. Thank you, Gia, for explaining all this to us.
Look at that
now,
weird
back to the
edit.
Video back to the video I recorded before he made me say all this.
I thought that was the end of the video, but there's no way she did that of her own accord.
Of course
there's no
not.
Way.
Like, we knew that the second it clipped over. I knew it was going to go right back to the old video afterwards, too. I was going to say something, but I was pissing, so I was like, oh, shit.
Was what made me understand all of it, and yes, that was my message for you today, that I wanted you to understand, and I hope you will join me for another video, because I need to say something to Mr. Donald Trump, you can watch my other video very soon, and I hope Mr. Donald Trump will take action on this, because it's very important.
Okay.
So thank you, everyone. Have a nice day, and I talk to you later.
Okay, so
bye-bye.
This isn't the video
bye,
where
Mama
she
JF.
This isn't the video where she asked something to Donald Trump, because she positioned it at the beginning as if she had a message. Okay, I was interested to know, but I guess we're not getting it this time.
Did she forget?
If anyone has more of Donald, no, she didn't forget. She just mentioned it, but she made it. But she's like, "Oh, I'll do it later." If anyone has more of her old videos, if you find them anywhere, if anyone watching right now does a search and can find me some of her old solo videos without JF, I'm interested in seeing more of those. She's absolutely a gem.
This will conclude tonight's celebration of life for Mama JF.
This is something that someone posted in the Discord, which, by the way, if you want to share any content with us, you should join our Discord. The link is in the description. People share content that we use on the show, so if there's anything you see out there that you like, that you want to share with us, please go there.
The Discord's a great place if you want to watch Teddy, Honest Red, and Zoe fight.
This is a video that I saw in there where people were kind of not necessarily debating, but it was like a panel discussion about being overweight and underweight and whether or not that's a choice and that sort of thing. And it's interesting to see, like, because there's people with medium builds, and then there's people who are obese, and then there are people who are clearly like underweight, like too thin, and the way how some of them are on each side of the issue is really interesting.
This sounds interesting to me. If it actually is a choice, then I'll choose underweight.
I mean, it's not a choice that, like, if it is a choice, it's not that it's like a snap choice, like you will it and it happens. Obviously, there would have to be
lame.
You would have to choose to make changes that would result in that, but. Here's the video. And by the way, the one woman that JF rage quit on that was interviewing him is in this video. So there's kind of a weird connection between this video and the next one here.
I'm sorry. There's a big difference between the people who are telling people go out and get fat versus a Lizzo who's saying accept me the way I am.
She's not just saying accept me the way
that's her.
I am. She's dressing extremely scantily clad and then saying, if you don't think that it's...
This is a little preview, like, look what they talk about in this video.
For a morbidly obese person to be wearing a G-string in the middle of public, then you're the problem.
Well, hold on. Why can't a morbidly obese person wear a G-string in public? They're going to look gross in whatever they're wearing. Why not make it a G-string?
They kind of touch on that later. Like, one of the people is an actual, like, plus-size fashion model. So they have plus-size and skinny.
I'm glad they labeled these two groups. I wouldn't be able to guess which one was skinny or plus-size based off the video alone.
Being fat or skinny?
So the first question that they polled them on was... Is being fat or skinny a choice? And 37% of them said yes, and 63% said no. And now the ones who said yes are going to step forward first, and then they discuss it. And then the rest of them come in, and then they all kind of like discuss it together.
Is a choice. Agreeers?
So three of them said it is a choice, and one of them is a fat person. And he's like huge. He's like super tall also.
Hell yeah, I woke up today and chose fat.
He does kind of say that.
Of course, not every factor is purely choice. I don't think that every factor is, but I do think a majority of it is. And in most cases, for most people, being skinny or being fat is about willpower. It's about...
Now, this guy's name is Dominic, and I'm going to let all you thins in on a secret. When you are a fat, you have to choose to add... to your regular name, something fat. Like, I'm Billy the Fridge. His original name was Nick, and he loved eating Domino's pizza, so they called him Dominic.
Hmm.
The environment you grow up in, sure, but who you choose to associate with, what sort of things you choose to listen to, who you choose to kind of have as your friends around you and support you, all of those things are choices that you can make that will lead you closer towards...
And you'll find the whole topic is way more nuanced than just a yes or no answer. Like, there are choices you can make to lose or gain weight, but there are obviously other factors that make that more difficult than some people than others. And then there's, like, illnesses that make it almost impossible for certain people.
Being one or the other.
I know what I do with my body. I know what I put into it day in and day out.
Ooh.
I choose not to eat some days.
Meth?
I choose, you know...
Heroin?
How I want to look. And I don't fault anyone for how they want to look or how they want to be, but I think it's a choice at the end of the day.
This guy needs to leave Bella alone just because she smells good on her period. He's a vampire, right?
He's someone with an overactive metabolism, if you take him at face value, which I have known people like this that weren't drug addicts or anything. They were just, like, insanely thin, like too thin.
I would also like to choose to have an overactive metabolism then.
I mean, some people can die from it. Like, I saw this one documentary where there was, like, an extreme example of it where the guy had to have, like, a feeding tube. Otherwise, he would just wither away. He would, like, starve to death just by, like, eating normally and living normally. He had a weird overactive metabolism.
Always wish-washy on how I want to be presented and if I want to gain weight or not. But the only person that's going to gain the weight at the end of the day is me and me myself.
For me, it's calories in, calories out. Go to the gym, you'll get buff. Don't go to the gym, you won't get buff. I understand that there's genetics that could cause you to...
Some people get buff without even working out. Some people just have, like, natural... they build muscle really easily. Like, Mike Tyson, when he was, like, 15, looked like he was 20.
Want to eat more, but even with the genetics that cause you to want to eat more, the same solution is... calories in, calories out.
I think the whole choice is, you know, always determined on who they are, and it's not going to just be a thing done overnight.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of, I think it's like breaking the barrier and breaking a lot of things, not only your body, but also breaking your mental state.
Sure.
And again, that depends on who you are and what you want to go through.
Disagreeers?
I got to hear from these skinnies that disagree.
I felt like as a toddler, I always viewed myself as big. I grew up in a very, like, poor home, so where my mom couldn't...
She didn't have a pool as a kid. I can guarantee
meals that. She could healthily.
Poor girl.
So when we would get, like, free meals even then, it would be, like, canned food, and it would be, like, very much food that's not as edible. It was food for us, yes, but then I felt like once it reached a point where I was old enough to try to make my own choices, I made all of the wrong choices. I wasn't...
She looks like Violet from Willy Wonka cosplaying as the Wendy's mascot.
I was only eating like grapes and lettuce, and that was mainly because I was in a sport, and that sport just worked me out so hard. And it was to the point where I just was scared to eat. I didn't like it. I would only drink water.
When you were eating grapes and lettuce, were you thin?
I was the thinnest I could be.
Were you still big, though?
I was still big, but that was the skinniest I've ever been, and that's coming from somebody who was only eating somewhat salads that are just fruit and lettuce and water and maybe ice right before a practice.
Do you think that right now you would not be capable of becoming a thin woman?
I would be capable of becoming a thin woman, but since I was young, I was supposed to get blood tested probably when I was very, very young, and I never did.
And these two girls right here look like Marvel villains.
Yeah, the one is disabled in some way. She talks about, I think she says she has lupus or something.
Oh, had fuck. Mentioned she was never on an episode of House.
That it could have been because of my weight and how that connects with my thyroid. I never made the connection, and I never had like that.
Yeah, thyroid disorders are definitely something that makes it very difficult to lose weight.
Like, leaning parent to be like, go and get checked out, go and do this. Like, your weight is probably not your fault. It was always like, your weight is your fault, so that's your issue.
I mean, I also struggle with, you know, thyroid and my own blood issues. I'm not quite sure, but I do see an endocrinologist and I go see a doctor. It's a choice to do the requisite steps. It's a choice to go grocery shopping instead of going to fast food when it's easy. It's a choice when you're grocery...
There's definitely stuff you can buy grocery shopping that's just as bad as fast food, though. So grocery shopping alone doesn't mean it's better. It really depends on what you're buying when you're grocery shopping.
grocery shopping to go to the outer aisles and like not go into the bread section and not go into the junk food section. These are all choices.
Better not. What if the bread section is in the outer aisle at my grocery store?
You got to go through it on your way to the produce aisle.
Then what?
Disabled woman, I can't do a lot of the things that people say, calories in, calories out, oh, you got to go work out and exert it. A lot of the things that are typical, oh, this is how you lose weight, put me in the hospital. I have to navigate. Oh.
I mean, most people agree, barring certain illnesses and everything, that diet is way more important to weight loss than working out. Like, changing your diet.
Next door. Diet is definitely going to get more of a calorie out, or calories in, calories out is more diet. Exercise does not burn enough calories to compete with not having a creamy, sugary, carby nastiness versus something that's like, you know, dense and green, fresh veggies. They're much lower. The girl next to her, I guess her name was Coheed.
Oh, next to Cambria. I see. Yes. I see. Yeah. Yeah. Exercise is just like a booster to a diet. Like, it can make the diet work faster.
Wait, differently.
Exercise has a lot of benefits, but you definitely want to get diet down if you were trying to lose weight.
Yeah. Yeah. It has tons of benefits.
Have to look at it differently. My weight is the way it is because of medication, because doctors put me in this position, and I had to learn, okay, am I going to be so hateful of my own body?
But it was your choice to go to the doctor. Some of us pray the gay away.
Backlash and put myself through extreme gym nights, through keeping myself from eating things that I should be able to eat. You should be able to have a balance. You should be able to go into the junk food aisle like other skinny people do and still not have to worry about gaining 20 pounds.
But I don't think
some skinny people can do that. Like, and then there are some that are skinny because they don't do that. It's different.
Yeah, the skinny people that do that choose to puke it out afterwards. It's some awesome.
Some can just eat like whatever crap and stay thin.
Sounds like death to me.
It's not. It's a spectrum, and just like it is on one side, it's the same on the other side.
Go not all into people. This junk food aisle.
They certainly
yes,
do.
They do.
They eat a lot of junk food.
Like, yeah. I mean,
a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, my DoorDash would tell you otherwise.
There's a thing called set points.
He's like, my DoorDash would tell you otherwise, but he just admitted earlier that he'll go whole days without eating, too.
Yeah. So. What do you DoorDash?
Air.
You're a stick thin. Might DoorDash, aka the guy that delivers the heroin.
Ton of research on it. That your body likes to be at specific weights. It likes to be in a specific way. So if you are fighting yourself to lose weight by not eating, over exercising, and you are damn near killing yourself to be at a specific weight, your body's unhappy.
It's important to note that
you are killing yourself to be at that weight.
Seriously though, like exercise, it only feels like it's going to kill you at first, but if you keep doing it, it gets easier over time.
I just realized that the fat guy that said that being fat is a choice is wearing Crocs.
Yep.
That's one of the most fat choices you can make.
Yeah, his feet probably swell up. I think he says later that he's like 6'5" or 7" or something like that.
This can be harder for people to make due to conditions in their life.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's still a choice. I could say that I had food addiction. I looked to food when I was stressed and this and that and this. And so it's harder for me to choose it than for someone who has like the perfect lifestyle, someone who has parents who are giving them this and that and this. But I definitely still acknowledge that it was my choice. At the end of the day, when I go there and I look and I see, should I order a second hamburger? I'm the one choosing whether or not I order that second hamburger.
But if you weren't nurtured to make those choices, if you didn't have nurture to guide you on those choices, you never had the option to make those choices at your base. The choices where you are given those choices at an early age, it creates the person you grow into.
I mean,
the habits you have are keen to your choices.
Big Diesel is a perfect example of someone who was fat and then did choose to not be fat successfully.
Yeah.
My choice.
Hey.
But I think he did that through the power of anime.
I don't know. I've been feeling.
He did it through the power of exercise.
I'm kind of lost lately.
And how is this helping?
Well, I don't.
Speaking of Lost,
this is like a BetterHelp commercial. I forgot this was part of the stream. All right.
Speaking of Lost, that guy was from Lost. I think that was Hurley behind him.
All right. So the next question is, I would rather be skinny than fat. Which, like, skinny is weird.
This is your yearly reminder that corn is the healthiest food known to humankind.
Thank you, big
corn. Open up your wallets and give sweet boy Ben some green. We know you were talking trash about us, Billy.
And hey, then, fuck you, corn
industry.
And
then he mysteriously had a heart failure after that.
Yeah, after your little heart failure gift, I was been on board, you son of a bitch.
So, like,
don't make me die a martyr.
These questions ignore people in the middle. Like, they're only kind of going between two extremes. There's no, like, average body. They're just, like, skinny than fat. Maybe what if you just want to be average? Like, in between.
Well, that's not one of the options.
Yeah,
choosing
yeah.
between skinny and fat, because most people are average, and you can look at skinny as being unhealthy just as you can look at fat as being unhealthy.
Fat. Can the agreeers please step forward?
I like how the super skinny guy is like, nope, I want to be fat. Oh, okay. So, like, remember your Uncle Dong comment to describe Blair White? Well, how would you describe him?
I actually called Pimp Monk my description of that before I ever made the Uncle Dong comment.
What was it?
It's an Uncle Nom.
An Uncle Nom.
I think there's a lot of different struggles when it comes to being a bit bigger. And I have a sister that is very, like, she's 400 pounds, and she struggles a lot.
If you have a fat sibling or parent and you're thin, you do not want to be fat because you've watched them struggle the entire time. If you don't have a fat mom, you only kind of don't want to be fat. If you don't have a fat sister, if you don't have a fat dad, you only kind of don't want to be fat.
She has lymphedema, and to shower is really, really hard. So
the girl who played in The Big Bang Theory was in a movie about that, where she was embarrassed she had a fat mom. Corn.
For, like, an overall happy life and, like, zero struggle, I think I'd rather be skinny.
I think that it is common in society to want to be skinny. I think the average person typically wants to be skinny. I'm actually surprised that I didn't see more people come forward on that question. People treat you better. It is what is considered the standard of beauty. Your life expectancy.
Yeah, but think about fat privilege. You can shit yourself in public and that won't be the grossest thing about you. People walk up on you. You can eat their leftovers without asking. Another point of fat privilege is that you are uno gender, so you don't have to use pronouns. There's a ton of fucking cool things about being fat.
Is longer, you tend to be healthier.
Well, I'm also really tall. I'm 6'6", so I kind of wish I could just pick a single struggle, because finding the clothes and things like that when you're bigger both ways can make it really hard. So if I was skinny,
yeah, we could tell you settled for this shit.
I like the Hawaiian shirt.
At least.
Yeah, he looks like Jimmy Buffet.
Worry about. But also, I've got two kids and a wife, and I'm taking care of them. And as you pointed out, I definitely think that I'm at less health risks if I'm a skinnier person, if I'm a healthier person in that capacity. And I would much rather be that so that I could be around for my kids longer.
Can the disagreeers please step forward?
I'm speaking as someone who actually was a former smaller person. And I had the most body insecurities when I was small. I was constantly living in fear of gaining weight and having people tell me, oh, don't gain weight, don't do this, make sure that your weight is the same.
Yeah, that's the secret. If you're small, you have to consistently worry about every little thing you eat, because 2 or 3 pounds on a small person could be a huge bulge in your belly. It's fucked. But once you get over like 20, 30, 40 pounds overweight, then you can be 500 pounds and it doesn't matter because you're already a fat shit.
And once I finally gained weight, I realized that, first off, life wasn't over. I didn't feel any need to...
This is coming from a girl that uses a cane, by the way.
...engage in life the previous way that I had, and the attention that I got was different.
She uses raising canes a little too much, if you ask me. Boom, boom.
Delicious.
But even as a smaller person,
is the one in Seattle open yet?
I have no idea.
They're opening one in the university district.
Attention. And rather than trying to control my body to avoid that negative attention, I would prefer to address the situation as a society, make it more accessible for everybody to where we
that
aren't feeling like I have
future fitness. Perspective gains on deck.
That is true.
Yeah.
Have to be a certain way that's normal in order to be treated like a human being and respected.
If I could counter, because I was a bit bigger when I was younger, and that's when I was the most insecure. I would look in the mirror. I did have family members that were skinny, but then I had a family member that was much bigger. And just the way that I perceived myself, I hated it, and I even became anorexic to, like, not be big.
I don't think skinny.
Yeah, her boobs are anorexic boobs.
Weights to being healthy.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I am fairly skinny. I'm 6'5". I'm 140 pounds last time I checked.
Wow, 6'5", 140 pounds. That's insane.
Checked.
It's about what Joe was at when he was, when I first met him. He was 6'3", and about 135 pounds.
Severely underweight. And I know about this on a day-to-day basis. That being said, I don't know where I'd want to lean at an appropriate weight level, but I think it's important to understand for some skinny people, we're not living a great life by any means. And sometimes I feel like that's always kind of lost in translation when they see someone who's really skinny.
I guess it depends on what you mean.
Except you win hide and seek by hiding behind noodles.
Who plays hide and seek?
From skinny, are you thinking of just like an average weight person, or are you thinking of how you are now?
I'm the average weight for like women in America.
Is that true? What? Is that true?
No, she's tripping.
That sounds like a lie.
She's not even the smallest fat girl on the set.
I know.
If we're talking about an average, like I'm going to be the closest.
If we're talking about the average,
I think she's lying to herself. I don't know.
One of my tits is about the size of an average woman.
Either she doesn't know what the average weight is, or she doesn't know what her weight is. I don't know. What are the
other?
I just
know she's out of her fucking mind, and that makes her special.
If your biggest priority is to be in a smaller body, you need to reassess your priorities.
Yeah, not focus on health.
Yeah.
And the immediate tie between...
My priority is to be in a smaller body and then have her get off of me and make me a sandwich.
Skinniness and health, like you emphasized. There is such a gap between, one, the research, because the research has a huge fatphobic bias in it, and there has been research that shows that they aren't, even especially during, let's say, COVID and the correlation between obesity. They rushed through those studies so fast because in society's mind, oh, of course a fat person is going to equal someone who's going to get sick faster, is going to get sick easier. It was an easy jump. Mm-hmm. So they didn't do all of the testing that they were supposed to do. They didn't check their bias.
Saying the study is biased, you're saying that the study didn't account for the variable that obesity may also take a factor into. It's just that there's so many variables in humanity that these pharmaceutical companies could only account for so many during their trials, and that doesn't necessarily mean that they're biased. However, if you want to talk about bias in studies, actually recently we've been doing the opposite. So for instance, a lot of our studies have been based on BMI, and so we've been showing that, oh, fat people aren't necessarily extremely unhealthy if we look at people with a certain BMI. However, bodybuilders also have a really high...
Bodybuilders are a low percentage of the population, though. That's why, like, the BMI can still kind of be used. And, yeah, when you come across a bodybuilder, their BMI is high and it would come out as obese. But then you look at them and see that they're a bodybuilder and you can tell.
Unless I start identifying as a bodybuilder.
That's probably why Jared thinks he's not fat.
And so they get counted into that category. And so it wasn't until very recently that they equated for that mistake, and it shows, oh my goodness, being fat is actually extremely unhealthy, like way, way more unhealthy than we ever realized.
You can't gauge
health. But not more unhealthy than anorexia, right?
Looking at somebody.
Yeah.
Like, none of my health issues, all of them precipitated my weight gain, but I always get assumed,
oh, don't you want to be skinny so that you don't have a cane anymore and you don't feel the way you feel? And it's like, no, because I have lupus.
Well, people who say that are ignorant without knowing why you have the cane. So.
I'm always going to feel like this.
Did House have a cane in the TV show House?
He had a cane and from an injury, and he was addicted to pain pills from it.
This broad is just the embodification of the House series.
But she has lupus. It's some other issue. Yes,
it's going to deteriorate. It's going to continue.
America has.
She's Corey in the House.
Okay, so this is America has an obesity problem. 98% of the people here said yes.
It can't be 98% of the people here. It won't break down to 98%. That's 98% of the people who voted, probably.
Oh, is it? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
You can't. I think it's pretty clear. You look at the weight of the average American, you see how obesity has affected not just children. I mean, the fact that we have more younger and younger people who are looking heavier and heavier, and you see that, like, you know, the way that weight affects us.
Yeah, like, I went to the French Riviera, like South France on the Mediterranean, not one fat person. Literally,
they're
did not
allowed to go outside.
I did not see one fat person. Well, I was there with TJ, and TJ was like, dude, I feel so fat here right now, because, like, literally everyone was, like, so fit. It was unbelievable. And the beach was, like, semi-nude, so there's, like, semi-nude people running around everywhere. It was very strange.
The French do it right, though. Their cuisine is so good that the fats do not want to leave the restaurants to go to the beach.
The cuisine in this part of France is different than, like, Paris and that kind of shit. It's more Italian-like, because it used to be part of Italy back in the day. So you'll find a lot more pasta and Italian-based dishes in
which should keep the fats at bay as well.
As a society, and you compare that to how we were in the past. Now, not that we should always, you know, we shouldn't compare ourselves to the era of the Great Depression when people just couldn't find food, of course, but people are heavier now in an unhealthy way.
When I say it used to be part of Italy, I mean it used to be an Italian kingdom. Italy as a country didn't exist back then.
And people are eating unhealthy. They are eating it through unhealthy access to food. They're eating diets high in seed oils. They're eating high corn syrup. They're doing all this kind of stuff that's not good for them that we didn't used to do. And it's bad. It's not a good thing. It's an epidemic. It needs to be quashed.
Ooh. Does it correlate with the industrialization of food in America?
In some capacity.
There's so much access to just anything. Yeah. Like, it's so crazy these days. And, you know, I'm so surprised that we're actually supporting a lot of this, you know, and there's always people like, you know, like, it's fine that we have like three McDonald's like on the same street. And it's just like, we don't think that this is adding to the problem.
What I think is really sad about that is so many people in America just see the profit in it. I don't want to say I know that these people know the problem, but it's like, how can you not see the problem? They have to see it and just not
Izzy
care.
With
they
the
have
glizzy.
To just be like, well, we're gaining profit. Do you see how much
I'm
this
glad that on? They put the she's skinny down on her name down there. I wasn't sure. I was like, why is her fucking top so loose? Is she hiding obesity?
Is making put another one across the street. Like, that's just like how it is.
The corporations, it's the medical industry. Mm-hmm. Having a
at some point, being fat is not a choice. Sure, if you're passing one McDonald's and saying no, that's a choice, but you can't say no three times.
Country makes us money.
It doesn't help that our cities aren't walkable either. No. Yeah, America is a country of non-walkable
that
cities.
Is why I wavered a little bit, because I think we have a problem with how to treat obesity. Mm-hmm. I think we have a problem with how to make it so that it is not an epidemic. This is a systemic thing, that we are in a society and in an environment that breeds this, and we are doing it to ourselves, we are doing it to our children, and our corporations and our industries are doing it to us, and they aren't having to take
our corporations need to start catering towards the obese. You go into a restaurant and the seats are small. You can't fit. You're going to say, well, we're going to lose out on potential earnings if we don't pack the restaurant with people. No, I take up three seats, but I eat five meals. I'm economically the person you want in your restaurant. You cater to me or you're on the wrong side of history.
And they're encouraging it with media. So.
And the mukbangs. I was literally going to bring that up. The mukbangs and like all those videos.
I mean, mukbangs, doesn't that come from Korea originally? They're acting like this is part of American society.
That is a Korean term.
Yeah. Isn't that where it but started?
We have really fucking made it special with our Nika Kano. Yeah, Nika Kano avocado and all the other super tanker fats that grub.
The shit he eats it looks so gross to me, like the weird noodles and stuff. But the last time I was hanging out with Adam up in Canada, he made some, because he had a whole bunch of them. He's like a big fan of those noodles.
Yeah.
And he made it for me, and it wasn't so bad. It was super spicy, though. I don't know how he does. Yeah. No wonder why he cries so much when he eats.
Just come up to trends. For
not only the
well.
Mukbangs, but also like Lizzo and other big like media.
I'm sorry.
Lizzo eats bananas.
That's very different.
That's very healthy, I'll have you know.
Difference between the people who are telling people go out and get fat versus a Lizzo who's saying accept me the way I am.
She's not just saying accept me the way I am. She's dressing extremely scantily clad and then saying if you don't think that it's normal for a morbidly obese person to be wearing a G-string in the middle of public, then you're the problem. And they're trying to normalize society to this obese culture, which is extremely unhealthy. And
what is an obese culture?
A culture which, like, normalizes
obesity. I'm
obese
and I haven't even heard that.
Well, obesity is already normal.
How have you not heard of it?
Well, I don't think it should be normalized. And it wasn't normal.
But what's the difference between a obese person, myself, walking around in a G-string or a bathing suit, as I do almost every day, and a skinny person?
Like, she does it every day? Does she mean at home when she's alone or in public literally every day?
Probably every day. Where
does she live?
She probably works at a bikini barista.
Hold on. Didn't it say she lived in like Wisconsin or something? I don't know.
She probably works at a bikini fondue palace.
Bikini baristas is pretty unique to Washington. Quite a unique Washington thing.
Is it okay that the skinny person is doing that?
I don't think so, but that's for other reasons.
I get the whole in public thing.
Which is to say that when
this
Lizzo
guy's
does
wearing
it,
Crocs,
the same
you don't get
as...
to talk about other people's fashion.
Oh shit! Hold on.
Oh shit! Mama JF is weighing in.
Yeah, she's back. It sucks. Hold on. How far along was I?
Look, you're telling me it doesn't.
I'm not saying they look the same.
Well,
but I mean,
Lizzo
goes on stage.
That's the implication. So yeah, if I walk down the street, I'm a runway model. I'm a print and runway model. I have walked down a runway in a thong. So me doing that is shameful, but a skinny model is
like
okay.
I didn't. I don't know if I use the phrase shameful, but I don't think that we as a society.
She's like, not shameful, icky.
Modeling obesity.
So, but well, I'm not modeling obesity. I'm modeling the lingerie that obese people need to be able to have availability to buy.
Yeah. So they've always had the ability to buy
lingerie. We have not.
Lingerie. You go to Torrid, single underwear is like almost $20.
Yeah.
And you go to like any other Walmart, any Target, and like all these underwears are on special for like $5 to $20 and stuff.
Well, it does take more fabric to make it.
It does take more fabric.
Make yards of fabric for gowns.
Is a different price than an extra large or a large?
It is.
And we're willing.
For 3XL shirts, I got to pay more money.
I think people view models and Instagram people and all of us who are plus size and proud as we're pushing this obese lifestyle.
Yes.
No, I'm pushing the fact that this is what I live in. This is my life. And I need other people who feel this way to say, hey, I want to be able to wear clothes that look cute too.
She's the one person that doesn't think America has an obesity problem out of all of them.
She got a fat mom.
With obesity in America, but I think it's a first world country problem because...
Okay, so you do think it's a problem, but you think it's a first world country. Yes, America is a first world country, so you answered the question wrong, basically.
She's saying it's not America, it's all first world nations.
Oh, okay, all right. I see what you mean.
The globe, and also I don't see it as a problem. I do feel like health-wise, people should try to be healthier, but there's no perfect body. There's no perfect person. There's no perfect size. And there's people who are underweight. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them. And then there's a lot of people who are overweight.
Accept that I'm the perfect body, then everybody else smaller than me can go around saying they're underweight and feel skinny. So I think we should just make me the perfect body.
See it as like a problem. But just to touch on what you were saying, because I am in the fashion industry, I wanted to become a fashion designer. My dad was one. And they buy 10 rolls of fabric for one price. So it really doesn't cost that much to make underwear.
Sure, but don't you also have to worry about distribution? I mean, if the average person is, let's say, in between small, medium, large, and you're sending clothes out for those, you know you could send out 10,000 of this, 10,000 of that, 10,000 of that. You can't always send out 10,000 3XLs because you're not going to have that many people fitting in the 3XL.
No, because there's somebody who works in marketing and they research that area. Mm-hmm. There's a census. Okay. So we have
it's called marketing, Ron, you big fat shit. Wear your Crocs and shut up.
Base of what type of people are there. Now, we don't know who's going in there, but we know the type of people that live in that area and the type of the people that come and visit the area. So that person is doing their job accordingly, and usually large sizes are sold out.
Okay, so somebody brought up the food desert earlier. I can't even think of an area that would have a so-called food desert.
There's plenty of places. They're usually more rural, obviously. It's a place where there's no financial incentive to open a grocery store because the population is so low. So then people have to drive several hours to even get to a grocery store.
And there's a lot of areas with density that just have like their only access to grocers are like bodegas and stuff.
Like yeah, like in New York City. Yeah. Yeah, but you can hop on the subway and go to the market easily. Like there's definitely more options in New York City than there is like out in the middle of nowhere, like up in the mountains or whatever.
Sorry, can someone explain, like maybe just for my ignorance, I'm like guessing a food desert is just there's no food anywhere?
No, it's healthy options for food.
So, that's part of a food desert, but that's not exactly what it is.
You can go into certain low-income areas and you'll see a Starbucks, a McDonald's, a Chick-fil-A, but there's no Trader Joe's.
A food desert, actually, properly, there isn't any, like, for a long period of driving, there's one gas station and a liquor store. Then you have to drive 2 more miles to hit.
Well, of course, liquor is more important than food.
The next grocery store.
But with the food desert, it's not just that there can be a grocery store there, but if I'm making minimum wage, I'm not going to spend all of my money on what is going to last me 2 meals versus what's going to last me an entire week.
Yes.
Or if I'm on EBT and I have specific things that I have to choose to buy versus what I can't buy.
Yeah.
I'm born and raised in Colorado. In the outskirts, there's so many small towns that...
Colorado has the lowest obesity out of any state in the U.S. I'm not sure why. I think it's a lot of like the hiking. Like when I would go to Colorado, there was a lot of people hiking and skiing and mountain biking and all that stuff. They're very outdoorsy.
You don't even know that they're there. Most of them you won't see on a map, but if you're from there, then you'll know. And they all have to drive a decent amount to be able to go to an actual grocery store.
But how often are you going grocery shopping? Maybe like once every 2 weeks would be typically normal.
I think it
so you have to do a drive
My
once every
I gotta go once a week.
So you're making a drive once a week, once every 2 weeks.
Yeah, but what's the cost of gas now to drive like several hours round trip just to buy groceries? That makes buying groceries even more expensive. So I think she's kind of, I think she might be pretending not to understand.
Not a lot of people have drive. Access to the
Yeah,
time.
Like, what if I don't have a car?
I was like, I don't even and if you don't have, usually these food deserts also have very poor public transportation.
She's like, I don't get it. Why doesn't your butler just bring you dinner?
Oh, damn it. Us playing this got us a thingy. So we won't be able to finish it, and I'll probably have to cut it out, but we'll be back live in just a minute.
All right.
We're almost all the way through the video, too, so.
Yeah, shit.
Yeah, but we'll be back. And the people who listen to this through the audio version will get the whole thing, so.
They'll hear me say the cuss word I said? terrible slur. I thought we were all fair.
We'll
have to edit that out, Ben.
It'll come back eventually. La 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 la.
Any do, moment do, do, do.
It says it's temporarily suspended, so. So it'll come back eventually, and then we'll see. I might just try to dispute it.
Yeah. We were being transformative, man.
Absolutely. Some people have the shortest fucking attention spans ever.
That's culture right now.
There we are. We're back. Yeah. So this video, apparently, even though we've watched almost all of it, just a little more than half of it. I guess we can't finish watching it. Maybe we'll finish watching it during a post show or something, but we can't do it here.
I want to apologize to
fuck you,
the porn industry, for the comments I made. I know you took the stream down to protect me from my own ignorance.
So
we love corn forevermore.
There's a chance that this segment might end up getting cut from this episode. If that's the case, you'll be able to see it all on Spotify. We have two feeds on Spotify. We have a video feed and an audio only feed. So you can check it out there instead. But we're back. I'm going to take a bathroom break. I'll be right back.
Bio break. Everybody watching right now, it's that time. Ask me big questions, get bigger answers. Don't call me a sicko. The fats false flagged my stream. Boglum reacts. That's messed up. Big face Billy. Big face Billy. The fats will not be stopped. What'd you miss, Egghead? They tried to take us down, dude. We're doing a fat segment, and they try to take us down. Big obesity didn't want to see us offer the solution to obesity. I was going to give everybody the secret. Secret. How delusional is Cobra thinking Puff will come out in spring? You say delusional. I say hopeful. You can't call King Cobra delusional when he's always delusional. Motherfucker thinks he can control the weather with a magic wand. Control traffic lights with a magic wand. Hells only ask, where would a good place in Seattle to stay in Seattle be during the summertime? I really enjoy the Capitol Hill neighborhood if you like a lot of walkability. It depends on what you like, though. Maybe you would like to be somewhere closer to the water. There's many good places. Let me know what you're into, and I'll give you that answer. Venom 9390 says, Billy, I'm about to move to New Mexico. Got any weed recommendations? Are you asking me or Ben? Ben's the one that lived in New Mexico and loves weed. My recommendation would be go find anybody and say, where's the weed at? How did my appointment go? Which appointment? My yesterday appointment? My today appointment? Or my tomorrow appointment? My life is full of appointments. My heart appointment is tomorrow morning. You see my backpack? But you can't touch that. Heart one is tomorrow.
Have you seen my baseball?
Have you seen my baseball?
All right.
Simple Country says, without spoilering, did I enjoy the Simple Country submission last night? Yes. I would say that submission was one of the best submissions, at least of the night, if not of recent actual mania.
Here is a little update on King Cobra and how he's doing with his new mead concoction. Let's check it out.
That jar looks vile.
Making some mead. What up, YouTube? It's your boy King Cobra back at it with another video. We got some 1118 yeast and we got a couple of ingredients. Pure granulated sugar. Right there, just like that. And they got the little milk carton opener thing right here to make it easier to open. Two cups of sugar.
He's making a potion. Santa says, not too much sugar, young man. Don't want to ruin your teeth. Santa, his teeth are already shot, and he's too busy worrying about Puff to get them fixed. Puff takes priority.
Some honey. Made in the good old US of A, Ron, unfiltered local hive. We add the whole damn thing in here.
Yeah, look at that.
That probably is so like raw local honey.
The airlock I'm using, a whole bottle of it. Once.
He probably gets it for around $8 to $10, I think. Maybe 12, depending on how.
Can you make a mead with eggnog and chocolate milk? We're gonna find out. Give it about 2 weeks.
With eggnog and chocolate milk, somebody says not likely.
Fridge.
Oh, what's up?
So it doesn't spoil. Use a little bit of cold water to swish it around, get the excess out.
Is that mustard? Oh no, it's the excess honey. Oh fuck.
Next we're gonna add our liquids.
So Subbed Hunter in the chat says, I've been making mead competitively for the last 7 years. This is not a great way to make mead so far. Subbed Hunter, I'm going to keep an eye out for your commentary. I'm going to keep an eye out for your commentary on this video, and I will be adding it to tonight's episode live as you apply it. You're a professional competitive mead maker for 7 years. Your opinion matters. The bottle farted. Okay. Subbed Hunter. Chocolate syrup. Would you ever add it to mead? Why, or why not?
He does chocolate milk. He does chocolate milk
when
syrup.
Puff first went missing, Cobra said he searched his whole apartment. But now he says he ran outside.
Yeah.
So why did he search his apartment?
And he didn't search his apartment.
Puff died in his tank.
He seriously, he didn't search his apartment. None of the shit behind him moved at all. So either he didn't search at all or he did a really shit job at searching. Billy, your estimate of the honey was pretty close before tax.
Yeah.
Well, they wouldn't tax food anyway. So it's about $13.50. I literally looked up Albertsons in Casper, Wyoming for this price too. So for that exact thing of honey.
Oh, fuck. I got the case of the Asperger's. Oh, the Hershey squirts. Oh, fuck.
There's no dairy ingredients in the syrup, right? I don't think there is.
I don't believe there's dairy in the syrup, but also the syrup never has to be refrigerated, so I think it would be okay to just let ferment in a closet. I don't know. Now, Subbed Hunter, our professional mead maker, says chocolate syrup usually has milk products in it. Lactose is not an easily fermentable sugar. This is going to be cloudy, and the flavor during fermentation will not turn out great.
Yeast. Damn. Making a new mead recipe for the holidays. People like the mead content, and I like making it.
Please stop,
Cobra. Add our eggnog from Southern Comfort.
Please stop.
He's got the Southern Comfort brand eggnog.
You know, I'm not a fan of eggnog, even if it's flavored and shit. I'm just not. And you know, I like alcohol too. So
yeah, this eggnog literally tells you what you should add to it to make it a good alcoholic drink, and he is not following the directions printed on the box. Just add Southern Comfort, man. Yeah.
He's going to add chocolate milk. I don't know if it would curl that fast.
Yeah, I don't know. It's got a milky fucking yuck to it. The marbleization of this mead, I'm going to suggest, is not a good... Fats and alcohol also don't mix well, so sometimes during fermentation.
From Promised Land, midnight chocolate, whole milk, ultra pasteurized, richer and creamier.
Oh my God.
Tastes like the Jersey cow difference. Or tastes the Jersey cow difference, not a sponsor.
Oh,
3 weeks. 3 weeks from now, he's going to be like, okay, guys, this byproduct of my mead is I got some cool alcoholic cheese. I'm going to make a bogrito with this alcoholic cheese.
Lou Crane.
No Lou Crane needed for this recipe. I got the funk mold.
That is delightful.
The mead.
That's good chocolate milk. I try to sip
it. It looks like diarrhea. It's like that diarrhea where you're like peeing out of your butt. And it's just like this brown liquid. That's what this looks like.
This has like diarrhea fallout in it.
Kind of spilt the last
batch. If someone told me there was a preserved human fetus in that jar, I would believe them.
The mead that I made, and I felt terrible about it.
Subhunter says, I'm guessing no proper nutrient additions will be made either. I wonder what yeast he will choose. Please, Lord, don't add Fleischmann's bread yeast. I think he had hyper yeast.
Yeah, turbo yeast, I think he called it.
Turbo yeast.
Yeah, it was supposed to, like, become alcohol faster.
So we'll make another one, I guess. Perfect amount of chocolate milk and eggnog. It'll give us plenty of room to burp with the yeast. Before we add the yeast, we got to stir it around town.
Ho, 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 ho. Santa says, that looks disgusting, Josh. I'm sure it will turn out great. You're so positive, Santa.
I've seen him, like, on Crystal Roberts' stream, bust out a mead and take a sip of it, and you can tell by his facial expression that it's fucking gross, but he's still like, yeah, this is great, you know? He won't admit it.
Subhunter says, I think turbo yeast is meant for moonshine. Shit. Oh, Simple Country
very
says
creamy,
there is a preserved human fetus in that jar.
Tasting.
Holy shit.
Very sweet. We gotta dissolve that damn sugar.
Venom says someone just send Cobes real booze so he doesn't try to drink this. I think he's gonna do it all.
Look, he's sticking his hand down into it because he can't stir the bottom.
Mm.
He always has problems with, like, overfilling it. And there was the one where he added sugar to it, but there was already yeast in it, so it foamed up really huge and overflowed everywhere.
He's shoulders deep in this fucking jar right now.
You can see some of the sugar is still, like, in its natural state on the bottom.
Yep. Untouched. Oh, my God.
Yeah, get my hand in there and stir it around, I guess.
You should have stirred it before you poured all that shit in.
Yeah, clean is what you do it, but it is what it is. My hands are at least clean.
I doubt. Highly doubt.
This madman's jacket went in there. Look at his fucking jacket.
It adds flavor.
He had his jacket halfway in that sandwich. Santa says, not very sanitary, young man, but you're the professional. True.
I have the update on this, but we're probably not going to be able to watch it tonight. We're probably going to have to do it on Saturday.
On Saturday.
That's as true as it's going to be, I guess.
A lot of people are suggesting this is not a sterile environment.
No.
Interesting.
Now to turn it into a delicious 18% alcohol by volume, we're going to use a EC1118.
EC1118. Does Subhunter know that brand? Subhunter says, I want to try this mead. Tell Cobes to send his masterpiece to the Valkyrie's Horn Mead Competition.
Why would you want to do that?
Can we get him in mead competitions? Santa says a whole packet. Starting to think this boy could be regarded.
It's actually a yeast used to make fruity wines or ciders.
Subhunter says EC 1118 is legit. It'll ferment up to 18 to 20%. That's what Cobes said. So that's a plus. Subhunter is giving Cobes that plus.
It's used for making like sparkling wines as well. I'm reading the website right now.
Grab another clean spoon, fork, whatever. Stir it around.
Yeah, he definitely is not saving money making this. But he might be saving his liver because this barely ferments and he drinks it before it can ferment.
A little bit of yeast,
he might be saving his life even though it's not saving money. Oh, he's got North Mountain yeast nutrient to add as well.
A little bit of that. And a one cap full.
Subhunter says that the EC 1118 will also do well in less notary conditions. The yeast creates auto kill enzymes to fight off bacteria. That's pretty cool. Good to know.
Yeast nutrient.
And he should make a stirring one for his mead. That's smart.
Stir that around. So this might come out like a Bailey's sort of deal. We'll see.
Bailey's.
That mixture is tasty. I licked it off the fork. A fresh airlock.
There's still clumps of unstirred sugar at the bottom of that.
I'm going to screw this on to our jar of goodness. Now we're going to fill up the airlocks to those lines in the middle right there. Check this out, YouTube. We got the mead fermenting in the fridge with the airlock in there. It's got half a thing of water in there. That's where I'm going to fill it up with the cap up there. Screw it back on there.
That's no cap. In fact, not only will yeast not ferment when refrigerated, if your temperature is too cold, you might find your fermenting process stops.
Yeah, it kills the yeast.
Look at that.
Subhunter does not think he should have put it in the fridge.
Yeah. All right, so there's that. I guess we can check out the update because we got a little bit more time. Just a reminder, tonight, for all you $10 plus patrons, we're going to do our monthly live review. We're going to do the Star Wars Holiday Special. So if you guys want to check it out with us after the stream ends, feel free to follow us over there.
It's going to be beautiful.
Let me get, I have it over here. Let me pull it up here. Mead update. Here it is.
I might have to run and pee again.
Go ahead. We switched. This is opposite day. All right. I'll wait till he comes back to play this. So, yeah, thanks to everyone for getting us to 64% of the goal. If you want to help us out a little bit more, feel free to send in a couple bucks. If we could get to 70%, that would be insane. That would be amazing if we could do that. Let's check out the mead update anyway. He'll be back eventually. There it is. His audio has been bad on his streams for a while. I have to boost it up all the way.
I took that eggnog chocolate milk mead.
I almost feel like he does all these gross ingredients just so he can give it some kind of catchy name.
And I strained it into a jar several days before I was going to do it upon doing some research. Because of all the dairy and the eggnog and the chocolate milk, if that shit spoils while it's in the fridge, then it's just going to end up making people really sick, and it probably wouldn't make for the best wine. So I took the strainer and I poured all the liquid out. I'm washing the other jar as we speak. It is what it is. And here's what I got left out of that liquid. Next time I go to make a homemade mead, it's not going to be with anything dairy related.
Oh, yeah, there you go. You should have already known that.
You know,
it is what it is. Tubes.
Yeah, he can't help himself from sipping on it, too.
But I hope you're all having a badass Thursday. Just hanging out, just waiting for that money from Etsy to come in.
It's a mixture of sugar, honey, eggnog, chocolate syrup, chocolate milk, and wine yeast. That's what he put in this. A whole bottle of honey, too. I wonder how many calories is in this jug when you factor in all the sugar. Because, like, all the stuff he added has added sugar in it, too.
Yeah, let that alone, jug is...
Yeah. Ah.
What do you think that jug is, about 15,000 calories?
Something like that, because there's just so much sugar in it, it's insane.
Fish tacos is guessing 30,000 calories.
Yeah, I'd like to know the capacity of this jug here. Like, how much does it hold? Like, how many fluid ounces or whatever? Not only did he poorly wash the jug, Chesh, he also, like, stuck his hand into it and his part of his sleeve and stirred it around.
Mm-mm-mm.
It's tasty. I ain't gonna let it go to waste.
Ah, God, why?
Instead of pouring it down the drain.
Yeah, because he realized he shouldn't have put it in the fridge.
Well, also, he realized the lactose wasn't going to ferment well either. Yeah, Subtundra says, I'm sure there's alcohol in it now, but why?
I'm going to drink it before it spoils.
God.
I can taste the honey in there.
Oh, really? From the giant bottle of honey that you poured in? No!
So it was in there for, like, putting it in the fridge can also kill your yeast.
No shit.
So I don't know, man.
When I make pizza dough to activate the yeast, it has to be like the water has to be like 170 degrees or something.
Glug glug glug. Can you taste the chocolate flavored yeast, King Cobra?
It's a tasty little drink.
He's gonna get a yeast infection in his throat.
It's probably not gonna get me drunk, but I'm not letting it go to waste.
You should let it go to waste.
I wonder how long he's going to drink on that.
He might drink the whole thing. Let's see. It's already a third of the way gone.
Was it full when he opened it?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
He's fucking awesome.
I wonder if he's going to puke. Has he made another video since this? God. He's going to puke.
But does it taste like mead? It's like chocolate honey and so if you're gonna add mead or eggnog
he made Boglum Yoo-hoo.
Mead, I would just suggest either drinking them separately or like
oh really
like a peppermint mead or some shit like
no
that.
Mead has fruit in it usually it's usually fruit and there's a reason why.
Brian asks, could Cobes eat a 3-pound bar of Hershey chocolate? Yeah, but not without putting a pound of Doritos, a pound of Mountain Dew, and a pound of queso on it.
Which you could probably do. Some peppermint extract. Some minty chocolates. Some water.
Some water.
Sugar, honey.
Yeah, mead is made out of
some
honey.
Of those 100-proof peppermint schnapps.
Yeah, but like to flavor it, a lot of meads I've had have fruit in it. Like you don't have to add peppermint and... crushed up cookies and all that shit. It's ridiculous.
Ferments.
But yeah, the honey is the part that's fermented to make the wine.
Subhunter says fruit mead is named Melomel.
Melomel. I was not familiar with that term.
Melomel. Fermenting alcohol will probably make it stronger. No idea.
At Mox Boarding House, I don't know if they still have it, but they used to have like a mead flight with all these different meads that they would keep there at the bar. And it was really good.
I think they still have mead there.
Yeah. It is what it is, Cobra fam.
Man tried.
Oh, God. Is he going to finish it all?
He's chugging. You see that Turkey Tom was looking to get in contact with King Cobra?
Yeah, I saw that he sent him a dono when I think you were here when we were watching it.
Yeah, he tweeted yesterday. He's like, how do I get a hold of this man?
He's impossible to get a hold of. I mean, he might show up on their podcast, but if I had to bet on it, I'd bet against it. But maybe if they pay him enough or something, I guess we'll see. He's really hard to wrangle. He doesn't want to learn like new types of like it. It's a lot of work.
It does kind of have a little bite to it, but if there is any alcohol in here, it's not going to be that much. In theory, a chocolate mead made with eggnog sounds delicious.
No.
But...
in Boglum theory,
yes.
Maybe champagne yeast needs... A fridge might be too cold for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't want this to be warm because of the dairy in there that can make it spoil before it has a chance to ferment.
Yeah.
So that's...
See, like, the price he paid for all the ingredients that went into this, he could have just bought some booze. Like, all
Sub
the...
Hunter says, I should send you sweet boys some mead.
You can Sub if
Hunter's
you want.
A championship mead maker.
There's
we should talk to you, and we should get you... to work with us to make a drunken peasant's mead, and we'll become bootleggers.
So if you want to send us something, you can. There's a mailing address in the description below. You can go there and send it there. Just make sure you package it properly so it doesn't break or anything.
There's that.
Because package handlers don't give a shit about packages.
That's. If it's what it is, I'll just have to, like, you know, drink all of this fucking... run these through the dishwasher, get them nice and clean. And then I'll just wait till I get some more money in before I make my next batch of mead. I got plenty of yeast. The 1118 yeast is good stuff. It works. If you can, I get turbo yeast. 24-hour turbo yeast is the best. You can ferment alcohol at 20% by alcohol by volume in a week. It's legit. I've used it.
Chesh asks, is the only reason we are on this earth to suffer? Chesh, I have something to tell you. That's suffering. That's the peel.
Suffering
guy. Once you peel back the suffering, there's delicious fruit under there. This earth is abundance. It feeds you. It nourishes you. You just have to get past that thin lining of suffering.
And if this shit spoils before it ferments, then that would be really bad. That can make me really sick, and that would not be good. So, yeah. But we're thinking four steps ahead of ourselves here.
40 chests from the King Cobra.
Is there any alcohol?
All right, let's see if he finishes. Wow, this is a long video, too. Does he drink it all? Let's see. More than halfway.
He's over halfway through that fucking thing. Yeah. Well, about halfway.
And then he puts it back. All right, that's the end of that video. Because in a minute here, we're going to do our review. You guys should join us. Let me link you guys so if you decide you want to join up, you can. Where is it?
Patrons, $10 and above, join us for our movie review of the Star Wars Holiday Special. Starring Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, B. Arthur,
There it is right there. You can go right there and watch it. All right. So we are going to go do this now. Thank you to everyone who helped us get so far on our goal. And we're going into Saturday doing really well on the goal at 64%. We will see you then. Until next time. Good night. They can't hear you.
Yeah.
All right. Good night.
In the beginning, there was nothing. And then there was the Drunken Peasants Podcast.
Drunken Peasants. Drunken Peasants. Drunken Peasants. Drunken Peasants.
From the strangest corners of the internet, gonna get TP'd by Billy and Ben. You know where you can find them at. Get ready, cause they're gonna kick your...
Drunken Peasants. Drunken Peasants. Drunken Peasants. Drunken Peasants.